This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, for number five, what do we get?
We've got a crater on Mars, and I know that the world loves searching about these different celestial bodies because I feel like some sort of space news is always trending every single week, but this week it is trending because a giant something, some sort of asteroid or something, hit the red planet, turning it kind of blue, which is pretty wild because it's all red, and whatever hit it had some sort of blue tinge to it, and like it looks like a blue paintball hit a red wall, which is pretty cool, especially because on Twitter I was seeing some GIFs that people were tweeting out about the before and after, and there's a pretty substantial impact zone there, and some people were postulating that it might be some ice underneath the surface there that was uncovered. We don't know yet, but apparently impact craters are all over Mars because they have a pretty thin atmosphere and it's right near an asteroid belt. So the fact that it hit the surface, an asteroid, not a big deal. But the fact that it turned it a little blue, that's what people are stoked on.
How large was that, like the object that hit it? Was it big? Was it small? I haven't seen the picture yet.
That's a good cue. I think it was pretty big because the photo that I'm looking at is very high resolution, but it seems to be covering a large area. And then again, those before and after GIFs were pretty big. But it didn't seem to like be doing any type of insane damage, but I mean, there's a very noticeable impact crater present, so it had to be pretty largo.
Was there any like seismic graphs from this? Because I know we have some like rovers on Mars, right? So did they feel it anywhere where the rovers were at?
I hope we got seismographs on Mars. I honestly don't think that we do because I feel like that would have been a part of this story.
Oh, that's
a good
point.
I know we do have so this like super high powered camera, I guess is what I'm trying to say there, stands for HIRISE, high resolution something camera, took the photo, and that's like an orbiting camera. And then I think there is maybe a Mars rover on there as well, but yeah, I don't know if it was measured by that.
You know what? I just thought of this. So we're just peeping on Mars. Does Mars know we're like looking through the window?
I know. Mars is like, guys, leave me alone. I'm just trying to live my life. And we're just like floating around taking super high resolution photos of any type of blemish. I was like, listen, guys, I'm having a stressful day, all right? I broke out. Relax.
What do we get for number four?
We've got the Cat Fox, and obviously the first thought there is Cat Dog, one of the greatest shows ever. But it is a new species apparently prowling the French island of Corsica. And I got to say, this is non-news. It just looks like a cat. So, like, they're out there. They found this cat. I don't know why they're calling it a Cat Fox. I'm not sure that those two species can even, you know, mate with one another. And if you look at photos of it, it looks like a freaking cat. It looks like a cat to be, you know, sitting in your lap watching TV, except for not my lap because I don't like cats. But they have, I don't know, they're like looking at like the teeth of it, and they're saying that there's big teeth and it's a little bit bigger than normal cats. Apparently the first cat foxes were non-violently captured back in 2016, and now they're trying to figure out about it, but I don't know. People are searching about it. I think it's like, it's whatever. It's a freaking cat. It's a cat out there. Who cares?
Wait. But is it like a cat and a fox, or just a cat with fox-like features?
They're trying to figure it out. They don't know. They think it's like a new species of a fox-like cat, cat-like fox. And the thing is, though, like, I actually don't know why they're calling it a cat fox, because again, those two species cannot mate with one another based on, you know, the scientific knowledge that I have. I guess maybe they could. I don't know. But I would assume not. I think that they're still doing ongoing research to determine the actual species, like whatever the actual species is. So we'll see. But again, I mean, look at the photos. It's just a cat. It's a big cat on an island. Congratulations.
Well, no, I mean, it would make a big difference if it was a fox with cat-like features or if it was a cat with, you know, a fox-like features.
It's the cat with fox-like features. It kind of has, like, a little bit of a pointy ear.
That's it.
And then a little bit bigger teeth.
Okay.
but it's a cat.
Yeah, it's, you know, because foxes, they're part of, aren't they part of the canine family? Like they can't mix, right? Unless.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Unless somebody is doing scientific experiments, and this is the first hybrid.
We've got a mad scientist.
Exactly. That's it. I'm telling
you. Exactly. Wow. That's a good point. Maybe there's some sort of mad scientist creating some Frankenstein foxes out on Corsica. Wow.
Right. Yeah, they got nothing else to do.
We've sussed them out.
What we get for number three?
Got the first day of summer, and that is today, Friday, which is very exciting. And honestly, it might be the best day of the year outside of Christmas. But it's so awesome because it's the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. Sorry for anybody listening in the Southern Hemisphere, shortest day of the year for you losers. But it's great. There's so much sun. You get to run around. It's warm out, hopefully, wherever you are. And, like, who doesn't love sun? I mean, you get out of work, you run around, you get stoked, and, yeah, it's the first day of summer. So, obviously, some brands have, like, latched on to this to market themselves. So, I don't know, Dairy Queen's giving them brown free ice cream cones. But good on you, Dairy Queen. But maybe let's just have a day out there that brands don't co-opt into their own financial gain. Well, I guess not really a financial gain if Dairy Queen's giving away. Whatever. You know what I'm saying. Let's just have a day where it's just about the day. Let's just go have fun. But, I mean, dude, Anchorage, Alaska, they're getting 19 hours of sunlight. So that's pretty dope. I'm going to run around, high-five some strangers or something. I don't know. It's going to be great.
First day of summer, and the first thing I think of is let's go to the beach. I want to go to the beach. We're doing it.
Come shredding. The Wee River Pro is going on right now, World Surf League. What's up? Got John Florence going to take that out in my Fantasy Surf League, so we'll see how that goes.
Fantasy Surf League? Okay, switching gears. What's that?
So the World Surf League is the professional sporting league for professional surfers internationally, and the fantasy version of that is just me and my surf bros. We just choose. It's through worldsurfleague.com, but you go through and like choose the surfers that you think are going to win in each competition, and you get points based on their performance. It's freaking sick, and then you can stream it online. I was working very hard today, but also watching all the surf action down in Brazil.
Well, now I'm going to have to go look at that because it sounds very interesting. Is there any money involved?
So no, but I mean, you could, I'm sure. But I personally, we don't bet anything.
You should do nickels. I usually do nickels for fun or quarters.
That's good.
If you want to be dangerous.
Like yeah, quarters are crazy.
What do we get for number two?
We have Juneteenth, and that was this past Wednesday, and that was the official end of slavery in the United States. And I do think a lot of people are confused by this a little bit. So the Emancipation Proclamation, that was January 1st, 1863. Abraham Lincoln's obviously famous Emancipation Proclamation. But slavery wasn't actually abolished in the United States until the Confederacy collapsed. And so Juneteenth is the actual commemoration of the abolishment of slavery. And that is June 19th, 1865. And that happened in Texas because Texas was pretty isolated geographically at that time in history, and they didn't really understand that the war was over until the Union Army like went down there and like, hey guys, yeah, we won and slavery's over as of like 2.5 years ago, so like what's up? So it took them a while to figure that out. So yeah, I do feel like the Emancipation Proclamation is normally what people in the United States credit with the end of slavery, but yeah, Juneteenth is actually the end of slavery.
Wow, Juneteenth. I actually haven't heard of it like that before. When did it start being called Juneteenth? I always thought it was June 19th.
I don't know. I feel like I've always kind of heard it as Juneteenth. They said that actually back in 1980, Texas was actually the first state to establish Juneteenth as a state holiday. So I feel like maybe since the 80s. But it is interesting. It does feel like June 19th, Juneteenth. Both of those are a little bit conflicting in terms of what they're going to call it. And then also people don't really know what it means, which is a shame.
Yeah, it is. Chicago Public School System, thank you for telling me what June 19th was, but not what Juneteenth is, what everybody now knows.
I like Juneteenth much better than June 19th. I like to abbreviate words, and obviously this is just one word right there, more efficient, and it sounds cooler. So let's call it Juneteenth from now on. No more June 19th if you had been doing that previously.
What we get for number one, Justin?
Unfortunately, we have Gloria Vanderbilt, and you know, I feel like on the show a lot we talk about individuals that have passed away. So yeah, Gloria Vanderbilt passed away this past week at 95 years old. from stomach cancer. So obviously she had a very long life, but always the number one trend is people turning to Google to understand that person's legacy and who they were. And it's interesting. I didn't know a ton about Gloria Vanderbilt. I actually didn't know that her son was Anderson Cooper, famous journalist, and he had a pretty touching tribute to his mom. And actually the highest search interest ever in Gloria Vanderbilt on Google in the United States. And for anybody that's not aware, she inherited a bunch of money from her father, Reginald Vanderbilt, and she was kind of a big icon in the fashion and textile industry, also was an artist of sorts. She had these phenomenal jeans that were kind of bearing this swan logo she was pretty famous for. But yeah, 95 years old, it's a long life.
Yeah, very long life. She lived it well, too.
She did. Yeah, that's exactly what Anderson Cooper said. See, in his tribute, he was just saying how she kind of lived life on her own terms. He said, an extraordinary woman who loved life and lived it on her own terms. So that's true.
Now, I did hear a couple of reports saying that she is actually the last fashion icon. Why did they say that? Do you know why?
You know, with my limited fashion icon knowledge, I don't know. I don't know what really constitutes an icon. I guess, you know, would Kate Spade, you know, she passed away, I guess she would be considered an icon. Who did we lose recently as well? I think there's another fashion icon that we talked about on the show. I got to say, I'm not the fashion icon expert that you're looking for, I'm sure, though. But if she's the last one, pretty sad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, I mean, I hate that it takes someone's death for you to sit there and say, oh, who is this person? But in a way, it kind of opens up their legacy. And I think in a way, that person doesn't die. And that's kind of cool.
That's a good point. I like that.
Condolences to her family, friends, and fans. You know, she was very loved. What did we get for the YouTube video of the week?
YouTube video of the week. It's called I'm Gay, and it's by Eugene Lee Yang. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the YouTube channel, The Try Guys. Pretty big YouTube channel. I got millions of subscribers on there. And he is one of the guys in the Try Guys kind of trio. I think there's three of them in there. They actually came to Google I.O. last year. It was pretty sweet. So they do a bunch of stuff, kind of like understanding different science stuff, any type of technology, kind of just like looking at things and trying them, whatever. The video doesn't have anything to do with those guys, but does have a lot to do with one of them, who is Eugene. And he made this incredible music video set to Odessa, and it has millions of views, and he came out as gay. Obviously, June is Pride Month, so the timing makes a lot of sense there, but, I mean, it's a phenomenal music video. It's extremely well done and pretty emotional, and it kind of goes through the trials and tribulations of being a gay individual, and, yeah, I mean, what a way to come out. It's very cool. It's got over 10 million views and counting.
Now, was this his story specifically, like what happened in his life? Because I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I do feel like it is. It does seem to kind of have imagery of his family and kind of growing up in maybe a little bit more of a traditional household, and then kind of like navigating this secret identity that he seems to be hiding for quite some time, and then finally being okay with who you are and kind of coming out and celebrating that. So I'm not sure, but that was my takeaway after watching it. But I don't really know. I don't know a lot about Eugene as an individual.
Isn't that the truth? I don't think any of us know Eugene on that kind of level. I wish I did, right? Because he looks really awesome to begin with. Like, he has a rocking, yes, like abs, and I would love to know his workout regimen.
Man, seriously. And the choreography was
right?
Incredible. And yeah, he's obviously a fit man. I mean, it's just incredible that, like, this guy, he's like a YouTube star, he's not really like a famous musician or anything. And man, that's a music video and a half right there. It's pretty sweet.
Well, I used to watch the Try Guys when they were exclusively on BuzzFeed, like the website. Yeah. So
right.
I remember at one point they said Eugene was a model, and he looks like a model. So I don't know if he still does that now, but seeing him do the ballet moves, I'm like, man, that guy's multi-talented.
Very, very nice moves. Yeah, a very elegant movement type of guy. So, yeah, it's awesome. Go check it out.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here, man.
Hey, no problem. Talk to you next week.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.